The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth. The trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today's message is the essence of my message to Christians, part two. Overview. I've now reached a point where Father has shown me that my understanding has matured and consolidated to a point where I can write an article summarizing all the key points that relate to my message as my message applies to Christians. This broadcast continues this analysis. We will note that those who followed after Yeshua suffered massive persecution, that all authority on earth was given to Yeshua after his sinless death. We will stress that Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool, and that Yeshua is scheduled to return around May 3003, 980 years from now. I will stress that the world is such a mess because of the contest between the Creator and Satan, and I will stress that Yah, the Almighty Creator, is Chesed, love, covenant love. And I will point out that Yeshua told those who follow his example to worship only the Creator, not him. I will encourage you to seek truth, not error, and I will note that when unbelievers die, they become ancestor spirits or demons. Various other points will be presented. Finally, we'll look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a general manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood. coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So we're continuing with our message based on the article 2020-1004, The Essence of My Message to Christians, Part 2. As I've said before, I've now reached a point where Father has shown me that my understanding has matured and consolidated to a point where I can write an article summarizing all the key points that relate to my message as my message applies to Christians. So point number three. Those who followed Yeshua suffered massive persecution. Following the death and resurrection of Yeshua, the believers in his covenant suffered massive persecution by the Jews and the Romans, such that the religion largely died out in Israel and survived primarily in Greece, where the believers adapted their religion to Greek pagan tradition in order to gain greater acceptance and reduce persecution. The religion became progressively more corrupt. It was also eventually adopted in Rome with further corruption. This resulted in the religion we call Christianity today. It is vital to understand that the knowledge we have available to us today, primarily through the Bible, is corrupt, incomplete, inaccurate, and therefore of limited reliability. It is vital to get close to Father Yah to seek truth. My website contains a huge amount of information of the order of 1,000 web pages and 2,500 articles, which you can turn to for a lot of information. Answers to many questions that you may have. Point number four. All authority was given to Yeshua after his death. All authority on earth was given to Adam, who gave it to Satan when he rebelled and ate the forbidden fruit, and therefore submitted to Satan. See Genesis 1:28, and the Almighty, incorrectly God, blessed them, and the Almighty said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. By implication, that means Satan and the satanic messengers as well. Yeshua regained this authority by living and dying without committing a single sin. Regrettably, almost no believers today live without sin, and therefore the satanic and demonic realm dominate on earth today, and almost no one walks in this authority. In order to gain this authority, Yeshua had to be 100% human, and he had to live without sin. If you will choose to live your life above sin, you too will have great authority on earth. Folks, this is so important. If you go after the satanic and demonic realm in the name of Jesus and God and the Lord, and worshiping on Sunday instead of Saturday, and worshiping Yeshua Jesus, or worshiping Jesus, worshiping the Bible as the Word of God, etc., etc., you are in sin. Satan, you are a servant of Satan. I'm sorry to tell you this. If you have sin in your life, you're a servant of Satan. And you have virtually no power over the satanic and demonic realm. They will play games with you. They will appear to listen to you. But they are not subject to you. You need to live above sin, without sin. Point number five. Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Yeshua is now seated at the right hand of the Father, the Almighty Creator, waiting for his enemies, the satanic and demonic realm, and their human servants to be made his footstool. This requires believers to live free of sin, which almost no one is doing, and wage spiritual war in his name, which again, almost no one is doing. If his enemies are not made his footstool, Yeshua will not return. Then point number six, Yeshua is scheduled to return around May 3003. That's 980 years from now. Yeshua is scheduled to return around May 3003, 980 years from now in 2023, but only if there is a living human being without sin and in right standing with Father Yah to call for his return. If there is not such a human being, Satan will rule on earth forever. See the article, a webpage, Satan to Pit 2003 on the website and other related webs pages. Folks, this is so important. Jesus is not coming soon. Jesus is not coming at all. If anybody's going to come, it's Yeshua. Jesus is a pagan false name. Please don't use it. His name is Yeshua, Yah, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, meaning Yah is salvation, which speaks to the role that Yeshua plays. And he's waiting for us to take authority over the satanic and demonic realm. And the satanic and demonic realm are laughing because just about everybody is in sin. Point number seven, the world is such a mess because of the contest. The world is such a mess because its believers have abdicated their responsibility to live above sin and dominate the forces of darkness. This is in response to the contest between Yah and Satan, which came about after Satan rebelled before the creation of Adam and challenged Yah to a contest to prove that if he, Satan, was sent to earth, Satan would so corrupt mankind that after 7,000 years, there would not be a single person who was in right standing with the Almighty who could call for Yeshua to return. And in that case, Satan would rule on earth for eternity and Yah would withdraw from earth. As things stand at present, Satan is well on track to win the contest. There are a very small number of people truly in right standing and free of error at a level that sets them in a position to pray for Yeshua, not Jesus, to return. My mission on earth is to increase the number of such people dramatically and to lay a foundation to make this turning around enduring and sustainable and to last to the end of the current millennium in 3003. What Satan did not realize is that when Yah withdraws his spirit from earth, all living things, plant, animal, and human, will immediately die. So Satan will win a Pyrrhic victory and be relegated to the satanic and demonic realm, fighting amongst themselves. And since they can't kill each other, it's just going to be an ongoing battle. Folks, if you don't understand the contest, you cannot understand what's happening on earth today. The satanic and demonic realm is in control. You, as a believer, have to live above sin and take authority over the satanic and demonic. If you don't, Yah will lose the contest. Point number eight, Yah is chesed, covenant love. The Almighty Creator is chesed, covenant love, loving kindness, mercy, grace. This is fundamental. He is not a vengeful, angry God. The vengeful, angry God of the Old Testament is inferred and implied and brought about through vengeful, angry men who had relationships with him. Yah is not fundamentally vengeful and angry. He's fundamentally chesed. He's fundamentally covenant love. Loving kindness, mercy, grace. He doesn't want to beat people up. Then nine, Yeshua told those who follow his example to worship only the Creator, not him. Yeshua told those who follow him to worship only the Creator. You are the eternally self-existing. Refer to Matayahu, Matthew 22:37. Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, said unto him, Thou shalt love Yah the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is quoting Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7, which says, "Hear, O Israel, Yah the Eternal Self-Existing, our Mighty One. Yah the Eternal Self-Existing is one. You shall love Yah the Eternal Self-Existing, our Mighty One, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." This must be read in conjunction with Exodus 22 and 3. "I am Yah the Eternal Self-Existing, incorrectly the Lord, your Mighty One, incorrectly God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other mighty ones before me." It's so clear, folks, and yet there's so much confusion. In Deuteronomy 5, verses 1 to 10, we read, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. Yah the Eternal Self-Existing, incorrectly the Lord, our Mighty One, incorrectly God," in other words, Lord our God, incorrect, "made a covenant with us in Horeb. Yah the Eternal Self-Existing made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. Yah the Eternal Self-Existing, our Mighty One, talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, our Mighty One, and you at that time, to show you the word of Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, our Mighty One. For ye were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, I am Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, our Mighty One, which brought your Mighty One, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other mighty ones before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, your Mighty One, am a jealous Mighty One, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Folks, it's so clear. Worship only the Almighty Creator, not Jesus, not the book. If you do those things, you're sinning. He wants a relationship with you, a deep relationship with you. The word translated before in the above passage is Strong's number 5921. From Strong's Concordance and Exhaustive Analysis of Every Single Word in the Bible. Look in Wikipedia for Strong's Concordance. This indicates that 5921 is effectively a meaningless word. There are literally over 150 different meanings ascribed to this word. Look up Bible Hub in the Hebrew Concordance 5921.htm. So the clear meaning of the two passages above is that you shall have no other mighty ones apart from Yah. Clearly, that demonstrates that it is sin to worship Yeshua, Jesus, or esteem him in any sort of religious sense. Fundamentally, by definition, Christianity breaks this commandment, and since the Almighty Creator spoke those words to the entire assembly of Israel, or Israel, from the Mount at Sinai, it is clear that it is an abomination to worship Jesus. In this context, it must be stated that anyone who breaks any of the Ten Commandments will face harsh judgment when they die if they have not repented and turned away from before death. And other, in addition to that, if you persist in these errors, the forces of darkness are going to laugh at you. You can pray until you're blue in the face. You can do whatever you tear down principalities, powers, thrones and dominions, bind, loose, whatever. And the satanic and demonic realm is going to laugh at you and say, but you are our servant. Look at the lies that you propagate. Look at the lies you believe. I can't stress this enough. Getting the truth right about the names and the personage of Yah and Yeshua, etc., is not an option. It's mandatory. It's essential. If you sincerely want to serve Father righteously to the end of your life. Point number 10, seek truth, not error. A fundamental principle of serving the Almighty is to focus on truth and not on error. The world is full of sin and error. Do not let that overwhelm you. Seek truth at all times and disregard the error other than to the extent necessary to note it for what it is and disregard it. There are several pages on the website that deal with this in detail. Point number 11. When unbelievers die, they become ancestor spirits, in other words, demons. When unbelievers die, they become ancestor spirits, also known as demons. They stay with their bodies in the grave or the crematorium oven or are harvested by Satan's servants and deployed to lead others into sin. There are over 100 billion ancestor spirits on earth today. If Satan loses the contest, the ancestor spirits will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and utterly destroyed. If Satan wins, they will remain on earth, ruled by Satan, and the Almighty will withdraw his spirit from the earth, and all living things will instantly die, leaving demons stuck on the corpses of their hosts forever. So it doesn't really matter how you look at it. If you're an unbeliever, you really don't want to die as an unbeliever. It's really not a very comfortable way to spend eternity, whether Satan wins or whether Satan loses. Imagine what it would be like if nobody takes you off your corpse, that you end up in the grave with your rotting corpse and then with your skeleton forever and ever, or you end up in the bottom of the ocean where your corpse fell and the fish and what have you devoured your flesh, or you end up in the crematorium oven going through incessant recurring cycles of intense fire and cooling down, intense fire and cooling down. And all you can do is look at all the other demons, ancestor spirits, who are with you. Point number 12. There are various ranks in heaven for those who please the Almighty. Look at the demographics of the kingdom page on the website. The lowest rank of those who really please the Almighty is wise steward. This requires that you seek truth. Seek to walk above sin and constantly seek the Almighty. On 25th of December 2015, there were about 200,000 people on earth who qualified. You'll get a glorious resurrected body and significant esteem, authority, and power. Next closest to the throne is good and faithful servant. You're more directly involved with the matters of the Creator on earth, about 5,000 people in 2015. You'll get a more glorious resurrected body and greater esteem, authority, and power. Closest still is overcomer. You're walking in truth. You have victory over sin and the forces of darkness and have a material relationship with the Creator. You'll get to sit on a throne together with a glorious resurrected body and significant esteem, authority, and power for eternity. 20 people on the 25th of December 2015. Folks, this is there for you if you actually decide you want it and work towards it. Almost no one knows that it's possible, and almost nobody's seeking it. Those that are there by accident rather than by design. Get the book, The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. It'll give you a taste of this. Finally, there are friends who sit on the highest thrones with the most glorious resurrected bodies, great esteem, authority, and power for eternity. There was one on the 25th of December 2015. For the most part, these numbers have not changed much in the last 7 years. Some new people have qualified and others have gotten into sin and error and dropped off, and some of them have died. There should be much greater numbers in all of these ranks. You can qualify. So I'd qualify what I've just said there. In fact, my current understanding is that the numbers have decreased because of people dying off. Few new people have come as a result of my ministry so far, that tells me, but it's not a lot. I want to challenge you. Make up your mind today to seek to become a friend. Father, pray, Father, I seek, for James says, I can become your friend. I want to become your friend. Help me to get there. Bring people into my life. Take people you don't want in my life out. Open doors, close doors. There are all sorts of prayers you can pray on the website. It's there for you. You could be one of the highest qualified people in heaven for eternity if you really put your mind to it today and start working on that day in and day out. Yes, it's going to require sacrifice. The reward is huge. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't do it, you're going to get to the end of your life and you're going to say, well, what did I spend my life doing? What was the point of my life? Point number 13. Satan was sent to the pit for 1,000 years on the 3rd of May, 2003. Satan was brought before the court of heaven on the 3rd of May, 2003. The charges against him were read out. He was convicted of crimes against humanity and sentenced to 1,000 years in the pit. He will come out on 2nd of May, 3003, 983 years. Well, that's about 980 years from now. See Satan to the pit, 2003. Shortly after that, if there is a committed believer in right standing with the Creator on earth at that time, the final judgment will come and Satan and all the satanic messengers, angels, and demons, ancestor spirits that follow him will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and utterly destroyed. If there is not a person in right standing, Satan and his followers will rule on earth forever and Yah will withdraw his spirit and those who at some level follow Yah and will leave too, and all of those on earth will die. Folks, there's a whole lot of mystique and funny thinking about the judgment and the millennium and Satan and all of this stuff. What I'm setting out for you here is straightforward. I believe it's clear, it's easy to understand. It's logical. It all fits together. And I'm basing this on direct revelation from Father. I'm not basing it on what I've read in some book or the Bible or whatever. This is information that has come to me through direct revelation, through a deep relationship with Father. You too can have such a deep relationship. You too can write and share information like this. Point number 14, the earth is ruled by a junta of seven demonic masterminds. Today, with Satan in the pit, the earth is ruled by the junta of seven demonic masterminds, brilliant men and women who died as unbelievers not long after creation. See the webpage Demonic Masterminds Direct. So important to understand these things. Not very long after Adam and Chava Eve, people started to become unbelievers. Satan was chirping away. When they died, Father had nowhere to put them in heaven because it was not part of his plan for there to be unbelievers. He didn't expect there to be unbelievers. He had a provision for some level of different levels of commitment from believers, but that was all he allowed for. That's why the believing unbelievers, the unbelieving believers, end up in the outer darkness, because there was no place in heaven to put them. It's fairly straightforward. It makes sense. And so the first of these unbelievers who died were taken by Satan, coached, and became masterminds, demonic rulers who support Satan and advise Satan. And then when Satan was cast into the pit, this junta took charge of the earth. It took them a while with a bit of fighting, etc., between them and arguing because they weren't expecting Satan to go into the pit. And now they rule on earth, the seven of them. They're based in London. As far as I know, in Woolwich. and they direct the forces of darkness around the earth. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a human thing. It's not visible. You can't find it if you go and wander around looking for it. It's in the spirit realm. Point number 15. There is judgment in this life for believers who sin. There's judgment in this life. You're a believer and you sin. If you constantly have things going wrong in your life as a believer, it is almost certainly because you have sin in your life. The Almighty sits on a throne of judgment. That's what the throne is, a throne of judgment. Yeshua, our advocate, represents you, particularly if you're a young believer and pleads for mercy. This only applies to immature believers. People quote the verse that Yeshua is the advocate, but they lose sight of the fact that an advocate is one that stands up in court and pleads on behalf of the defendant. Then the satanic forces act as prosecutors and bring charges against you for your sin. The Almighty passes judgment, and the satanic and demonic realm execute that judgment. See the article Judgment in This Life on the website. This is so important, folks. If you've got curses, etc., that will also bring about judgment, because the demons that are enforcing that curse will go for judgment. So if you have situations where things keep going wrong, get on your knees, say to Father, please show me what I did wrong to have that motor car accident or that fall or that theft or whatever. If you are a believer and you are in right standing with Father, the forces of darkness cannot touch you. So if they're touching you, there's something wrong. Point number 16. The Bible is just a book. It is not the Word of God, and it contains error. Regarding the Bible, it is vital to understand that it is only a book and not the Word of God, or more particularly the Word of Yah. It's a compendium of portions of text from diverse authors, none of whom testifies that what they've written is inspired by the Almighty and without error. Neither do the compilers of the entire Bible claim that what is assembled was inspired by the Almighty and without error. The fact is that there are discrepancies. For example, relating to the death of Yehuda of Kerioth, Judas Iscariot, see Matthew, Matthew 27:5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Compare that with Acts 1:18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. So either he cast the money into the temple, or he purchased a field. And either he hanged himself, or he fell headlong and his guts spilled out. Clearly it is one or the other. There are a significant number of other discrepancies between different texts and other points that are not accurate. There are websites devoted to errors in the Bible. The exact extent is not important. Folks, simply go to Father with an open mind and say, help me to understand whether what James Robertson is saying is the truth or not. Father, is the Bible your word, or is it just a book? And if you've fasted and prayed and done the sort of things that I advocate on the website, you will clearly hear him say, the Bible is just a book, it is not my word, and it is sin to worship it. It is sin to call it the word of God and without error, and all the other things that believers say about it. In fact, once you realize that the Bible is not the living word of God and without error, or some derivative of this mistaken Christian belief, the errors cease to be of real concern, since it is now our personal responsibility to discern the validity of what we read and research, anything that is disparate. Beyond that, the core issue is to develop a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator, such that you can ask him directly about any area of concern. What is fundamentally true about the entire Bible is that it is an extremely valuable resource as a historical record of the interactions of humankind with the Almighty Creator up to roughly 2,000 years ago. It also contains about 2.5% inspired text, as indicated to me by the Almighty some years ago, but it does contain error. Remember also that most of the New Testament was written in Hebrew or Aramaic, translated to Greek by unknown people, and repeatedly transcribed by unknown people with no guarantee of the accuracy of the translations or transcriptions, and no guarantee that someone along the way did not embellish or change words or verses to reflect their personal prejudices. Folks, this is so important. The Bible is a useful resource. There are lots of other useful books. There's a list on the website. And the right answer is to seek a deep personal relationship with Father. Come to a place where you can hear him clearly. There's all sorts of guidance on the website about coming into relationship with Father, about hearing Father. Please read it, put it into practice. It's useful to read the Bible a few times in a few translations, of which the King James Version or the New King James Version, the Amplified Bible from Zondervan, and the Scriptures from the Institute of Scripture Research are worth reading once each. All available on Amazon, and pretty much all of them are available as free PDF downloads on the internet if you search a bit. The Jewish Living Torah by Rabbi Ariah Kaplan and the Living Nacht are also worth reading once. Beyond that, there are a huge number of books relating to belief in the Almighty from diverse authors, diverse faiths, many of them spirit-filled to a greater or less extent, that are worth reading. Although all books, as with all other information, are to be read and received with caution. A deep relationship with the Almighty is critical. What is true about Christianity is that there is a huge amount of practical literature relating to diverse facets of relationship with the Almighty that is worth scanning and reading selected books or sections of books as led by the Spirit of the Almighty once you've formed a personal relationship with him. See the books listed on the important information page on the website. For more information on the Bible and what it is and what it is not, see the web page, the Bible and associated child pages, and also the message, the web page, the essence of my message regarding the Bible on the website. So important, folks. I spent 8 years believing the Bible was the Word of God. And then after 8 years, he led me down a process, and eventually he said to me, the Bible's not my word. It took me another 10 years to come to terms with that. So I accept that it's going to take you a while to adjust, but it's the truth. Point number 17, the Bible is based on fragments. The Bible, and particularly the New Testament, is based on fragments of weathered parchment collected from diverse sources. That is why many books in the Bible are fragmentary in nature. There are chunks of text that are not part of a neatly constituted continuum. Look in Wikipedia, biblical manuscript. In considering these images, it is important to recognize that firstly, each fragment of parchment represents a passage in the Bible that is potentially disjoint from all other fragments, and that secondly, many of the fragments are ragged or have holes in them, or both, such that words, phrases, or entire verses are missing. It's also reported that some words were illegible because of the deteriorated state of the parchment. From consideration of the above, it is apparent that in order to compile a complete version, there has to have been considerable human interpretation and emendation to make the text read clearly. Ted Twitmire, in his paper, Did Francis Bacon Fry the Bible?, see Rents.com General 74 Fry.htm, alleges that the translators of the King James Version of the Bible, on which most other translations are based, used a large amount of artistic license in filling in the gaps. I've read a report that the various source texts in the New Testament differ to the tune of around 1,250 instances where the wording is different, and some of those are very significant, such as the verse which implies that there's a Trinity. Accordingly, it is important to recognize that the Bible is a very incomplete book. Once you recognize this and recognize that it is at best a useful resource, you will see things differently. Point number 18. The Protestant Bible contains 66 books showing human manipulation. Shortly after committing my life to Father in March 1993, I realized that there were 66 books in my New King James Bible. I was impressed to count them. At that point, I had already learned that the number 60 speaks of mankind, human interference. So I got on my knees and asked Father what this meant, and he told me that the 66 meant that men had been messing with the Bible and that there were many books missing. I was told that these books had been seized by the Catholic Church and were stored in a vault in the Vatican Library. The books concerned addressed issues that were contrary to Catholic Christian doctrine and had therefore been hidden away. So again, we see that the Bible is a very incomplete book of limited reliability. Folks, something to understand is if you go to the Bible believing it's the Word of God and exercising your faith and believing that Father will speak to you through the Bible, you exercise your faith, and by what he calls force of faith, you force him to show up through the Bible. So you read one sentence, one verse, and you build a doctrine this big based on revelation that he gives you, or revelation that some demon gives you, or revelation that your brain figures out for your convenience. Father will do the same for any book where you exercise faith for him to speak to you through that book, to whatever extent it's possible. And when Father speaks to you about my word, that's your brain interpreting the spiritual impulse that he gives you about the Bible and translating it as my word. That is not him speaking. That's your mind speaking. Point number 19. Yeshua is the most powerful created being in the universe. Yeshua is the most powerful created being in the universe. The spirit that became Yeshua was the first spirit being the Almighty created early on in creation. And he was Yah's executive assistant and chief operating officer throughout the creative process until he came to earth, at which point, as stated above, he became 100% human. He could not have performed his mission if he was not 100% human, and he would not hold the high status that he holds today were he not 100% human. For more information, see the webpage Yeshua, and the child page is under this on the website, and also the article Essence of My Message Concerning Yeshua, Jesus, on the website. Folks, this is really important. I've come across people who have had encounters with Yeshua and seen his power, and they've assumed that because he's so powerful, he must be the Almighty. No. Yeshua is so powerful because he lived a life free of sin in obedience to Yah. And he was the first human being to die without sin. And because of that obedience, he was awarded the highest throne in heaven, the most powerful body in heaven, and massive supernatural power and authority. So when you encounter Yeshua, even if you know him as Jesus, don't make the mistake of thinking that he's the Almighty in the flesh. No, he is a created being, a human being. This will be continued next week. So I want to close by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. Say again what I said at the beginning. The whole reason this universe exists, this solar system exists, planet Earth exists, that plants exist, the animals exist, you and I exist, is to be friends of the Almighty Creator. companions, people he can do things with, people he can share things with, people who will act as his agents on earth, people who will understand how he thinks and what his objectives are and help him to achieve those objectives. And if you do all of that, you will in time hear him call you friend. And when you die, you will qualify to sit on one of the highest thrones in heaven with massive glory, massive authority, massive power. Please try and understand the continuum between what I've just described on the one hand and a demon, an ancestor spirit, a ghost on a corpse, on a rotting corpse in a casket under the ground forever. Think about it. Where do you want to be? To me, it's self-evident. There's no contest. So just wrapping up, key documents in a video, some key elements on the website. Video, why seek relationship, miracle of Yeshua's death. Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship. Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existence. Existing, the essence of my message to Christians, also to articles for Jews, Muslims, and other faiths and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries1word.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. And they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. One word. Click on the show on the top menu, then podcasts, or search on Google for quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. About 9,000 A4 pages there. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's Endtime Issue Ministries, one word, J-A-M-E-S, to be added to the list or to seek counsel or give prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. If you Google Relationship with Creator Radio, there are at least three podcast websites where you can get all the back issues of the broadcast. The Google search, the article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search are along the top row of the website. A lot of functionality to find answers to your questions. As I say, 2,500 articles, over 1,000 web pages. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool, and to bring about revival in this age. There's a small revival happening in the United States at the moment, a small Christian university. It's been on some of the news. I forget the name offhand. But seek Father now. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, tall or short, fat or thin. Doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or Christian or whatever. Father wants a deep personal relationship. Even if you're a Satanist or a witch or a warlock, Father wants a deep personal relationship with you. Make a decision to change. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I want to become your friend. Please help me to become your friend. Contact me. I will be delighted to help you. It's so important, folks. That's why you're here. That's your purpose in life. I urge you to go for it. Thanks so much. Good night.
Father, I pray.